Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text, sticking to the Valentine's Day theme, as we often do here, is taken from the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, chapter 7, in verse 10. And it reads, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. These words were spoken by the Shulamite bride to her beloved, Solomon. And here is a beautiful expression of the romantic love that ought to exist between a man and his wife. My mom used to affectionately refer to my wife as my bride, even years into the marriage. This was something that she carried forth from her young days. And the bride here says, I am my beloved's. She belongs to one man and one man only. She willingly submits to him because he loves her sacrificially and he respects her. His desire is toward me. The Shulamite is the object of the affection of her man. Notwithstanding the fact that Solomon was a polygamist, in the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, one romance is highlighted as an exceptional example of courtship and marital love. If you find one true love in your life, you are blessed indeed. And if you have not yet, ladies, if you are not romantically courted, and you cannot say, I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. Perhaps you should not settle, but instead wait on the Lord, for you are worth more than this. Gentlemen, rejoice with the wife of your youth and your wife by covenant. We read this in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And for the one who refuses to acknowledge his wife on Valentine's Day with flowers or otherwise, this calls to my mind the words of the Lord, which could well be spoken to the neglectful husband, fiancé, boyfriend, and such. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, we have here some flowers in the back on the table for the ladies, their little four-rose bunches, and these are for you this morning. Our gift to you, if there's any left over, maybe grab an extra bunch and bring some home to the lady in your life. There's no conflict of interest. My company has recently divested itself of its flower holdings, so we don't have an issue here. But certainly I encourage you to lavish flowers upon the lady in your life. Now, our Lord Jesus said this, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." And so we rightly understand the Song of Solomon as a spiritual picture of the love that ought to exist between Christ and his bride, the church. And getting back to our subtext, we see that it's applied this very way in the New Testament by Paul. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And then back to our text. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. And so can you say, I am my beloved's? That is, I belong to Christ. Have you admitted yourself a sinner? Have you accepted Christ's sacrifice as having sufficiently paid the penalty for your sin? Each and every one of your rotten sins. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that the Lord has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him, for whoever calls upon the Lord, what? Shall be saved. You say that you believe the Lord's word, that salvation is permanent. And in so saying, you say, well, for Jesus has said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed tense, from death into life. But have you made certain of your future? Friends, we are known by our fruit. Therefore, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So, friend, you may be saying, yes, sir, I am my beloved's. I belong to Christ indeed. To which I say, good. Being a preacher and a hard man, I must go still further and ask you, are your affections divided? There are those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but who also swear by Milcom, a false god. But you say, I am more sophisticated than that. So then, do you also swear by the god of science, or the god of technology, or the god of the almighty smartphone, the god of self-love, the god of pleasure, the god of sports, the god of entertainment, the god of shows, the god of politics, the god of the internet, or the god of movie lust? If something in the game today, or the commercials, or the halftime show conflicts with Christ, would you hesitate to walk away to pray and shut the television set off? Why not? Are you all in for your beloved, or are you only half in? If I must travel you home today, and you get in the car, I should hope that you will get all in the car, and not half in the car, with the door open, in which case, being oblivious, I would drive off, and you would be found injured on the road. You never got in the car, and it's your own fault. But then would you do it again? And we'll come back to that. The second part of our text reads, and his desire is toward me. God's desire, the Savior's desire, is divinely constant, and his affections are undivided. And if you want to know what the Savior's heart is towards you, dear Christian friend, you need go no further than to read the prayer that the Lord prays on behalf of those who will believe in him throughout the church age. And you can find the record of this in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And beginning in verse 20, we read, I do not pray for these alone. He's talking about, I'm not praying just for the disciples who are right here, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's the New Testament. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. And so Jesus' intercessory prayer abides, even today, for you and I. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. If you lay on the road having fallen out of the car, you are only half into the Lord himself shall bandage you up and give you another chance this very day if you want it. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So can you now say, like never before, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Become the child of God that he has created you to be. Saved, settled, secure, undivided in love concerning Christ. Undivided in your affections, even as his affection is undivided towards you. And beginning from that starting place, being consistent in love for your spouse, your family, to the people of faith, even to all the world, yea, even your enemies. For this is the love of Christ, of which the Scripture speaks. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for how you demonstrated your love by sending your Son, Jesus, to come and to die for us at the cross. And we thank you that you didn't stop there, that you rose him from the dead. We thank you that we have a Savior who is near, a very present help in trouble, a friend who loves at all times, whose desire is toward us, whose affections are undivided, even when ours fail to be so. Lord, give us aid and convict by your Spirit every one of us in this room of any area in our lives in which our affections are divided. May our affections remain undivided, even should we choose to watch what they call the big game today, which may be good for entertainment, an enjoyable sport, but is passing away and pales in comparison to the big day when we come home and meet you. If there are any in my hearing who could not honestly say that if you were to come to call for them this morning, that they would have a sure place, a reservation in heaven, as your servant Peter puts it. May you impress upon such a one these words that you have spoken through your Son, that those who believe upon him in his word have surely passed from death into life. Unless there be any lack of assurance on the part of any, that we may all understand that certainly not the Lord, not the devil, not someone else, not even ourselves, may remove us from that position, and may we be secure in that. We thank you for that promise. And Lord, if there be any struggling in that area, that they might receive peace from that blessed assurance. Or that an examination might reveal that today it is needful to no longer play the hypocrite, but to come to you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we need your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, your help today. Bless each and every one in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.